souls stood on that hill besides me and Malachi. Ida Pickney, our next-door neighbor, dabbed at the corner of her eye with the tissue balled in her fist. Her daughter Melody was at her side. And Mason Caldwell stood a whole head taller than her, only a few feet away. He'd had the misfortune of being the only kid in grade school foolish enough to sit beside me at lunch, and he'd eventually grown into the only fool who'd jump from the river bridge with me in the summers, or cut class with me our senior year. Then there was Bertie Forrester, Gran's oldest friend, who was more like family than anything. Her hand found mine, squeezing, and it was only then that I could feel how cold my fingers were. I blinked, pulling my eyes from the narrow steeple of the church to look over my shoulder. Bertie stood at my back, the lace neckline of her black dress fluttering along the curve of her collarbones. Her silver hair was pulled into old-fashioned pin curls, making her look exactly like the photographs of her and Gran when they were young. There were dozens of them in the basement, arm in arm in front of the soda shop, perched like chickens atop hay bales on the farm, standing knee-deep in the river in only their underwear.
"Made it to holy ground after all," Bertie whispered.
A smile pulled at the corner of my mouth, my eyes flitting again over the five white headstones of the Pharaoh women. There was a time when this corner of the cemetery didn't exist. When Gran was little, the Pharaohs were buried outside of the fence because they weren't baptized. But eventually, as the need for more burial plots grew and the fences of the churchyard were moved, the banished graves fell within its borders. Gran had found an endless humor in that, saying she'd make it to holy ground after all. There were things that made this town what it was. The scent of honeysuckle blooming along the black tar roads, and the rush of the Adeline River, which cut through the land like the scrape of a knife, the curious gazes that followed me and Gran on the street, and the rumors that skipped in the air no matter how much time had passed. Their stories were nothing compared to the ones that Gran had regaled me with when she tucked me into bed as a little girl. The town of Jasper had no idea just how different and strange we were. The wind picked up, and goosebumps surfaced on my skin, tracing from my wrist to my elbow, when the feeling of eyes crept up the back of my mind. I swallowed hard before I followed the movement at the corner of my vision back down the hill. The square of golden light on the lawn beside the church was painted with a sharp, black shadow. My gaze rose to see the silhouette of a man, framed in the window, shoulders squared to the cemetery. Even from here, I could feel those eyes focused on me. But the parking spot where the minister's car had been an hour ago was now empty. So was the church. "It's not real," I told myself, tearing my eyes away. "There's nothing there." When I blinked, he was gone. The notes of the fiddle slowed, drawing out against the wind as the last bit of light disappeared in the distance. The trees swayed in a balmy summer evening breeze that made my skin sticky to the touch, and a moment later, there was only the sound of the footsteps on the damp grass as the others made their way through the headstones and back to the road. I stared at the dark, crumbled earth that filled the grave. Gran had taught me how to work the farm, to weave flower crowns, and to make her grandmother's biscuits. She taught me how to ignore the whispered prayers women uttered beneath their breaths when they came in and out of the flower shop, how to read the coming seasons by the intuition of the trees and predict the weather by the look of the moon. I hadn't let myself really think about the fact that it was what came next that I most needed her for, but she wouldn't be there. Bertie and I waited for the last of the headlights to bleed away before we finally started the walk back, following the bridge over the river to the single block that was downtown Jasper. I chanced one more look at the church and found the window still empty, like I knew it would be, but that sick feeling still swirled in my belly. I unbuttoned the top of my black cotton dress, letting the cool night air touch my skin before I pulled off my shoes, a pair of black slingback heels Gran had probably had in her closet since 1970. The same was likely true for the pearl earrings I'd fished from her jewelry box that morning. The crickets woke with the darkness that fell over the thin strip of town that lined the road. Not a car in sight. Small communities like this one usually went to sleep with the sun, and Jasper was mostly farms, which meant its residents would be up when the roosters crowed. The main street had some other name no one ever remembered, a combination of four or five numbers that only showed up on maps.